Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. It will be dark soon, a character says in the 1968 Western Fire Creek, starring Jimmy Stewart and Henry Fonda. And then he adds, things happen at night. That is especially true of the story that precedes our scripture reading this morning. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. So begins one of the best known stories in scripture. Nicodemus probably came under the cover of night because he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. How embarrassing he must have thought it would be if he were discovered, he, a member of the ruling Jewish council, to be caught consulting with an itinerant teacher from Nazareth. Rabbi, Nicodemus says to Jesus, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. That's quite a startling statement to make for a member of the ruling council. We know that you are a teacher who's come from God. I wonder if Nicodemus was really sincere. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. This morning, I think for the first time in my preaching career, I want to focus on this statement from Jesus to Nicodemus. We all are very familiar with the scripture that came from the reading that David shared this morning, that God sent his son into the world. But this story which precedes it, it's something that needs to be fleshed out a bit. Now, I want you to hear those words again, as if it were for the very first time. I want you to set aside your past encounters and forget your expectations with so-called born-again Christians. Let's take Jesus' words at face value. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. What would that mean? What would that look like? Nicodemus wonders the same thing, except that he takes Jesus' words literally. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asks. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Nicodemus and Jesus are clearly speaking two different languages. Nicodemus is speaking the language of the flesh. Jesus is speaking the language of the spirit. Jesus says to him, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is everyone born of the Spirit. So Jesus is talking about a spiritual rebirth. And he's saying that we cannot enter the kingdom of God unless we are born again of water and the Spirit. So let's agree, just for the time being, that the water he's referring to is the water of baptism. What does the Lord mean by being born of the Spirit? I came across a story of a bright young woman named Marion. She was working her way through college by cleaning dorm rooms, those of her fellow students. Marion was often annoyed by their inability to say thank you or please. So one day she got so disgusted and disillusioned that she was ready to quit. And she went to see her favorite professor and said, I've been taking all of these philosophy courses, and we talk about what's true and what's important and what's good. Well, how do you teach people to be good? The answer to that question, said her professor, according to the Bible, is not education, but conversion. No one can truly learn to be good, for only God is perfectly good. The light of true goodness dawns in the heart only when God shines there. So I ask you, my friends, what kind of lives would we live if God's light truly shown in our hearts. David asked that question in his call to worship this morning. From everything we know about Jesus' teachings, we can conclude he meant by saying that if we enter the kingdom of God, we must be born again. Doesn't that mean then that we have to become a new person? When we were born the first time, we became a new person. Wouldn't a rebirth imply that once again, we would become a new person? That is, there must be some changes in our life. A retired pastor, after 48 years as a Presbyterian minister, wrote an article in which he looked back over his nearly half century of ministry. He remembered in the article one Sunday service in which he was baptizing a 2-year-old boy. After the child had been baptized, the pastor, following the directions of the Presbyterian prayer book, put his hand on the little boy's head and addressed him using Trinitarian language. He said, "You are a child of God, sealed by the Spirit in your baptism, and you belong to Jesus Christ forever." Unexpectedly, the little boy looked up and responded, "Uh-oh." Well, it was an amusing moment, and the people in the congregation smiled and laughed a little out loud. But it also was an appropriate response, wrote the retired pastor. A stunning theological affirmation from the mouth of this child that, uh-oh, was a recognition that everything had changed, that this boy would never be the same. Uh-oh is a proper response to new birth. Someone once said, "We are all in favor of progress, provided we can have it without change." Many Christians verbally give assent to the idea of becoming a new person in Christ, but very few of us want to pay the price that such change would entail. In light of Christ's life and teaching, what changes would likely take place if we were to experience the new birth that Jesus recommends to Nicodemus? Well, first of all, our lives would have a new focus, an outward focus, rather than an inward. When we are born into this physical world, we are born grasping things to ourselves. The first movements of a baby's hands are to clutch, to grasp, to hold. We are born into this world utterly self-centered. Recognizing that babies are cute, cuddly, and lovable, we must also confront the fact that nature has fashioned the human infant to be utterly focused on its own needs. A new baby wants what it wants, when it wants it. It doesn't matter whether you are watching your favorite program on TV or reading a book or doing some chore that badly needs to be done. If a baby needs to be fed or to be changed or even just to be held, that baby's going to let you know it. And it will not let you rest until you've met that baby's needs. That drive toward oneself is essential, of course, for survival. The progress of maturity, of growth, is to learn to escape from being self-centered to being able to accommodate others in the framework of one's life. That is the natural process of the physical world, to start off self-centered and then to learn to share. But if we're to become new persons, we would have to go further than that, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we have to focus on others' needs just as intently as we focus on our own? This is so that we might accurately reflect the image of our true parent, who is God. When we see a young boy, we may say he is the spitting image of his father. Or a little girl, we might say she is the eyes of her mother. But how many people say about us, "He is as loving as his heavenly father. She is as compassionate as her God." And yet, that is exactly how we are to live. Such a transformation would be difficult for most of us. We are the me first generation. We've been taught to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But the emphasis has always been on ourselves. A new focus would say that we should love our God and love our God first. And we would love our neighbors equally as much as we love ourselves. In the second place, if we were truly to be born again, we would have a new system of values. That is one of the things that happens to us when we grow up, is that we obtain our values from our families, from our teachers, and from our friends. That is how values happen. We acquire them from the environment in which we live. If we were to experience a new birth, we would obtain a new system of values that were required from our new saturation in the world of God. No one can say exactly what those new values would be. When Jesus talked about the kingdom of life, he said things like, "Blessed are the meek, and blessed are those who mourn." Through years, pastors and theologians and teachers have tried to understand what Jesus meant. But Jesus saw the world through a fresh pair of eyes. Jesus saw the world through his Father's eyes. He saw the world as God sees the world. And so we can only truly guess at the full meaning of the new values that the kingdom life would entail. I can say that probably many of the things that we cherish, those that we cherish most, our possessions, our homes, our affluent lifestyles, would have less interest if we truly were born again. The things that this world could buy would dim in their glitter, as well as their glory. Our lives and our eyes would be fixed on a new world, a new heaven, a new earth. Now, I normally don't look to the TV show The Simpsons for sermon ideas. However, there was an episode of that show on which Homer Simpson is told by his doctor that he only has a few days left to live. Homer is understandably frightened, but very soon after this dire pronouncement, he shows remarkable fortitude. Homer makes a list of all the things that he would like to do before he dies. And the list is full of things, like ride in a blimp and tell off his boss. But the list also contains items like making amends with the neighbor who Homer's always borrowing things from, but never returning. Homer also realizes that not only has he not been a model neighbor, but he also has not been the best father to his children. So he spends quality time with his son, and he listens to his daughter play the saxophone instead of telling her to stop all that racket. Wouldn't such a shift in values take place with a new birth? We can't say with precision what our new values would be, but we can believe that a new outward focus and a new set of values are what it would be all about. We would have to have a new outward as well as an upward focus to our lives. We would have to have a new set of values. Many of the things we worry about now would seem trivial. Can we imagine how rewarding it would be to look beyond our own life, to invest ourselves in others? David said in his call to worship that going up in the front of that classroom and taking that dollar illustrated in a point this professor was trying to make, that the education was there, but it was up to us to take it. Being born again is similar in that God has put before us our salvation, but it's up to us to take it. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. My friends, that phrase does not have to be something we are afraid of. Rather, it can be a reminder of all that God calls us to be. Amen.